The National Gallery in Prague is undergoing a restructuring in view of showing its collections to the best possible advantage and meeting the standards of a leading European art institution. The man masterminding this transformation is chief curator Adam Budak, who previously worked at the Kunsthaus in Graz, Austria, and the Hirschhorn Museum in Washington, D.C. When Adam Budak visited Radio Prague studio this week to talk about his vision for the gallery, Radio Prague's editor-in-chief Miroslav Krupička first asked him what visitors can look forward to in 2015.
We start from a grand opening at the Veletrzny Palace this Thursday, February 19th, with, for the first time in a way, an accumulation of exhibitions on one evening. And this very evening we're going to open six exhibitions in between ground floor and second floor of Veletrzny Palace. Very diverse projects, from the inauguration of a new space, new as if department that is focused on the medium, which is so popular nowadays, but it does not or had not had enough strong presence in the program of the National Gallery, which is moving image, video and film-based work. Through groundbreaking, I would say, exhibitions of Oskar Kokoschka, especially focused on his very fruitful, productive years spent in Prague in the 30s. Then an exhibition of Stanislav Kolibal, his drawings, the exhibition to celebrate Stanislav Kolibal's 90th birthday, through smaller projects, including a new section called Introducing, where a student of UMPROM is going to present his new work. So this diversity of media, diversity of scale, will gather various audience, and that's our aim, to put people together and to turn the National Gallery into a place of a meeting, place of an exchange, place where different ideas are being confronted. Another very important moment in the calendar, it's going to be March 19th, when in St. Agnes Cloister we will open a very important exhibition on symbolism. Symbolism in Czech or Bohemian lands from 1880 down to 1914. In summer, one of the highlights is the exhibition of the father of modern art, Henri Rousseau. This exhibition also presented in a collaboration with Musée d'Orsay and Palazzo Ducale in Venice, will be on view in Palazzo Kinskich. The autumn will welcome a first in this country large-scale retrospective of Maria Bartuszowa, incredible artist who influenced many a younger generation, not only Czech artists. This exhibition will contextualize her work within the 20th century, architectural as well as artistic achievements. So we will gather next to Maria Bartuszowa works by Friedrich Kiesler or Louise Bourgeois or Sarah Lucas. And many, many more, of course, smaller scale projects.
So basically there'll be three seasons, three peaks of the exhibition season in the National Gallery. It's the winter season, the summer season, and let's say the autumn season.
Right. Like fashion show collection.
All right. You yourself are the curator of two exhibitions now for the winter season of Stanislav Kolibal and of the Moving Image Department. Why Stanislav Kolibal? Is he your favorite artist?
Stanislav Kolibal is no doubt one of the most distinguished, prominent Czech contemporary artists, and hardly known in the Western world. However, this recognition and acknowledgement is growing, and the proof of it is last year exhibition called Other Primary Structures in the Jewish Museum in New York, which included the groundbreaking work of Stanislav Kolibal. The exhibition, which will open on Thursday, focuses only on his drawing as an definite autonomous artwork and discipline, but at the same time very formative point of departure for the work that he is mainly known of, which is sculptural installation. We will present the development of his drawing from the 50s down to now, going through different phases of experimenting with drawing, experimenting towards leaving the frame and going into the space. So while watching this exhibition, one may have a very interesting input into what the oeuvre of Stanislav Kolybal is at large, especially with its sculptural installation-like approach. It's a large-scale exhibition, which will also include sketches and diaries, little thoughts, like a sort of laboratory of a mind. So again, an insight into artist's brain, his creativity, his conceptual thinking will be highlighted there.
As chief curator, you are supposed to develop, to design a new concept for the National Gallery. What is your main idea? What will you do differently?
My main idea is to develop a program of high intensity and diversity, of extreme intellectual curiosity, of a high quality of visual and conceptual. All this in order to turn National Gallery into the leading institutions of art in Europe and beyond. My vision is to introduce and strengthen the current position of the National Gallery in between already existing leading institutions, to strengthen collaborations with prestigious institutions in the world, to open it up, to make it friendly, to radiate it with its energy and with its power, with its richness of collections. No doubt those collections are to a large extent iconic and very much wanted by the entire world around us. The number of loan requests for masterpieces from a National Gallery collection is huge, and it's growing from one day to another. So I do really believe that the National Gallery can get wings it deserves and be visible and present, admired on local, regional, international level.
Each collection has a sort of strong side and a weaker side. What do you think is the strong side of the National Gallery collection that you would like to build on?
The Traitor Palace, which hosts modern and contemporary collection, includes incredible highlights of the turn of the century and the contemporary art. One of the most important tasks and challenges will be, once the means are available, to rethink the concept of the collection, how it is being hung, how it is being structured, how it is being narrated to the audience. Plus, of course, one needs to rethink the amount of the works, that the size of the collection itself, to make it more accessible and to make it more digestible for local and international audience. So one of our tasks is to rethink the usage of spaces in Trade Fair Palace. I would like to make the collection or collections spread between four historical palaces, the cloister and the modernist building of Trade Fair, to make it live, to create a dialogue between the past, now, and what is future going to be about.
Does that mean that you count on Veletržní palác? Because there are all kinds of opinions. It's very large, it's very expensive to operate. There are ideas to abandon it and so on. So you, for the time being, you count on it, you'll use it.
I do totally believe in the potentiality of Traitor Palace. I think it is an icon of architecture, of modern architecture and architecture at large and beyond. I am personally going to fight for Veletržní palác as a site of modern contemporary collection of the National Gallery. I know it was not built for art, but it offers many different spaces that myself as a curator I'm attracted to, from big open such as Big Hall and the so-called ironically small hall with this impressive volume of space, non-comparable with any other contemporary exhibition spaces. So it is a treasure, I would say, comparable with the building of Pompidou or with Tate Modern. It has its certain industrial charm. It offers a lot. It provokes. It inspires. Of course, as you mentioned, the maintenance, its size, it is a problem. Therefore, this act of rethinking how the space is being used. And I hope we're going to get a chance to do it with the means we need for that. And we will turn this building that only seemingly is maybe too alien to people, we're going to turn it into friendly alien. I'm quoting here the nickname of the building of Kunsthaus Graz, where I used to work for 8 years prior to my coming to Prague. So I do believe in buildings, and especially how those buildings are being used. And those buildings are being used by humans, and all depends upon us.
Before coming to Prague, you worked as curator for the Hirschhorn Museum in Washington. It can hardly be compared to the National Gallery. It's a new modern institution, I think.
But I disagree.
You disagree?
It can be totally compared to the National Gallery because of different reasons. Firstly, its status, Hirschhorn is a federal institution, it's a state institution, it's a part of Smithsonian. So this what those bad things we associate with state institutions, such as bureaucracy, slow processes, public tenders, and sort of conservatism, it was there, it is there. So it wasn't too big shock to move from the Hirschhorn down to National Gallery, because the problems management employees face are similar, if not identical. Architecturally, I would say it is a similar challenge, because Hirschhorn is a brutalist architecture from mid-70s. Here we face a pioneering building from the end of 20s that shaped what the identity of architecture in 20th century became. So again, a very strong architectural identity. Collections. Hirschhorn possesses one of the most amazing distinguished collection of modern contemporary art. We spoke earlier about how iconic collection of modern and contemporary department of the National Gallery is. So I don't think there are too many differences. Certainly there's no shock. There are many similarities, maybe lessons that need to be exchanged and learned from.
Adam Budak, thanks very much for the interview.
Thank you so much.